something that Henry Drummond shared. He said, love is greater than faith. This is what he wrote in his little book. Love is greater than faith. He said, why is love greater than faith? He said, because the end, love, is greater than the means, or faith. He said, it is through faith in Jesus that gives us access to God, who is love. So therefore, faith, or the means, is in order to love, or the end. So the means cannot be greater than the end, which is love. And actually, he supports that in Scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 13. He said, and though I have what? All faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So faith can't be greater than love. It's the means to love, right? And you know, the Scripture also talks about something when it's something. It shares, your faith groweth exceedingly, right? Well, here's the thing that's exciting to me. If your faith is growing, what does that also mean? Faith works by love. That means love has to be growing, which also means if your love's not being perfected, if you're not acting in love, if you're not operating in the love of God, and your love isn't growing, neither is your faith. You cannot operate in faith greater than your love, because faith works by love. So you can't operate in faith any greater than your love. So it's always something to think about. Amen. So let's turn over to, I'm going to land eventually on 1 Corinthians 13, but I guess I'm going to read, we'll pray here and get started. And Yuke, I guess, can turn to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read John 3:16 and John 13:34. And Father, we thank you today for this time that we have. Thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is here amongst us, dwells in us, and we thank you for his presence. We thank you for the love of God that's present here. And we thank you, Father, for the word of God, that as we meditate upon it, as we speak it, and as we act upon it, we thank you that the love of God is perfected in us. We thank you that as we do, you'll open up, as we meditate on the word, as we open our hearts, you'll reveal and unfold the word of God to us in a greater measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to read John 3:16 from the King James. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, we noted on Sunday that this word loved, God so loved, is a verb, it's an action. God so loved, it's agapeo. I guess you could say pronounce that in that way in the Greek. It may be pronounced different, but it's the action. It's not agape or agape. That's the noun, but this is the verb. This is the action. God acted. He loved the world that he did something. He gave his only begotten Son. And then John, 13:34-35, says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love, this is the action now, love one another as I have loved you, the way he acted. And actually, if you look that word up, it means even as, or in the same manner, or in the same way. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And then 1 John 4, and verses 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love, this is the action now, love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, so here we go back to what we our point that we made at the beginning of these lessons, that you cannot love, you cannot abide in Him unless you're born of God. And that's what he's saying. You've got to know God. What does that mean? That means you have an intimate relationship with Him. That means you're connected to the vine. That means you're translated out of darkness or delivered from darkness, as the scripture says. He that loveth not knoweth not God. See, so that's just right, that's what it's confirming. You don't even know God, right? You can't love people with the divine love of God. Now, you can love people with phileo. You can just love people, have compassion on them, natural compassion. But you can't love with God's love unless you know God. And that's what it's saying. For God is love. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Isn't that good news? That tells us something right there. I want to focus a little bit on that tonight. And our lesson this evening we're sharing is taking our place in love. Taking our place in love. So he that dwelleth where? In love does what? Dwelleth where? In God. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in love. Dwelleth in God who is love. And God does what? He dwells in us. Verse 18, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And Romans 5:5, and it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I like some of these translations, which is in, I think they have it in the bookstore. It's by Reverend Mark Hankins. This is the Johnson translation. It says, God's love fills our inner being through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The Goodspeed, God's love has flooded our hearts. And in the 20th century New Testament, Revised, it says, for the love of God has filled our hearts. So the love of God's already in here. And this answers the question, you know, if you know God, if you're in God, you've become born again, the love of God's already been shed abroad. It's in here. That means you can love people. We can. So then we say, well, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to love people? Well, because people are imperfect. And this flesh, we have a battle. Isn't that what Paul said? The things I'd like to do, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things, you know, he struggled in his flesh, right? The flesh, there's this struggle. Well, if you don't renew your mind, if you don't meditate on the Word of God, then we can be more carnally minded than spiritually minded. And that's why we're reading 1 Corinthians 13 every day. So it makes it easier for us to walk in the love of God with people, right? So the love of God is, this divine love is a love that isn't based on a response, but on a decision to do what? Keep loving, keep on loving, regardless of a response or lack of response. So it doesn't matter whether people respond or they don't respond. Love is powerful. Who is it? God is powerful. And we're going to touch on that in a minute. So there's no conditions. I like this. No prerequisite. You know how they go in the world? You can't get this unless you qualify for this. You have to measure up to something. Well, this salvation that we got, that we received, was already paid for. It was credited to us. We were in sin, and we didn't deserve it. But we received it free. It's a free gift, right? So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. That chapter that we're reading every day. Amen. Should be fall right open to it. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I said, you know, I've recited 1 Corinthians 13 through the years because it was shared here for so many years. Pastor Clinton, Pastor Sarah would read it, but we'd read it from the Amplified. And you could almost recite it by memory. And sometimes we parrot things so much that it sometimes can lose its value. And we just say, you know, love endures long, is patient, kind, blah, 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 and you're not even thinking about the words. And I said, you know what, I want to read it from a couple of different translations. But one that kind of blessed me was from a translation, it's the Hayford, which actually is Jack Hayford. This is a Jack Hayford translation. And this is how he wrote verses 4 through 8. It says, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. I just kind of like that, because that's exactly what it is. We have to have patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is not possessive and non-competitive. Wow. That right there, you know, this whole world is designed about being competitive. And this says here, you're not competitive. You're not possessive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love is not self-effacing. Self has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. You know, that's just showy. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. That means first place. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful, I like this here, but is graceful under pressure. Now, I'm going to be honest, we're all not there, me. I mean, when pressure comes, sometimes we're not graceful under pressure. Sometimes, you know, our wick can go just, you know, can kind of go along and then, oop, that's it. We're done. We're not graceful. So in other words, we get pushed to a certain point and this flesh says enough. And we're all at certain levels of that. And so that's why we're reading 1 Corinthians 13, so we can develop, right, in this area. So it says, but is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction. Listen to this. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. That's good, right? And when you think about this, think about what the first verse of the next chapter, when you hit verse 13, the first verse in chapter 14 says, follow after love. We're to follow after love. And that's what I was picking up on Sunday. If you follow after love, then Matthew 6:33 came to mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you desire shall be added unto you. So in other words, when we seek God, we seek his things, we seek his purposes. That doesn't mean we're negligent with our responsibilities, but we put him first. When we put him first, he said, the Father knoweth you have need of all these things. He said, but when you put me first, these things will be added to you. What does that mean? Peace, joy, finances, all the things that sometimes we come up short in life with, those things will be added to us as we seek him first. Not second or third, that means first. Now you see, this is where it becomes sometimes where families, you know, they can become divided on this. Sometimes, you know, a husband or a spouse may not be totally in sync with that. But the family's got to be united in this. This is what the devil hates. He hates this. You know, a husband and wife can be in sync, but then he can get to the children and cause stuff in the home. And they need to keep it first. God's first. His things are first. You still love your children, but you still have got to put God first and his ways. I like what some people say. You live in my house, you eat my food, you're going to serve my God. That means you're going to church on Sunday. There's no debate here if you're living in this house, right? And that should go with all children. Doesn't mean you have to walk out of love with them. You can smile and say, we're going to church today. If you want to live and live in this house, we're going to church today. You know, how many, I was at my parents, you know, I was raised Catholic, but there was no debate in the house. There was no debate. You get dressed and we're going to church today. And got one of these little, you know, or here or somewhere, I got something where you're going today. You drag your feet, get dressed, we're going. Did I like it? No. But you're inputting, you're imparting these things into a child, and that's just the way it is. We're putting God first. Because if that household is going to be blessed, then you better not compromise, right? Amen. Follow after love. Seek him with all of your heart. Now let's turn over to John. I wanted to focus on this a little bit. John 14. And let's kind of land on verse 10 here. John 14. We'll look at John 14 and 15, these chapters. Pages sticking together. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father? This is Jesus speaking, and the Father in me. This is Philip when he said, show us the Father. And that's when he said, if I've been so long time with you, and yet you don't know me. He said, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto the Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask. See, this is putting him first here. See? And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What? If ye love me, keep my commandments. See? So you've got to keep his commandments. That means you've got to put him first in everything. He's got to be first place. Now let's look at John. I believe I want to look at John 15. And let me just check here. I believe that's what I want to do. Yeah. Let's jump over to John 15. And let's look at these first few verses here. What does it say? And it says, I am what? The true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if you are a branch and you are in me, then you are in love. You are connected to the vine. You are in love. So now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken in me. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So you can't bear fruit except you abide in love. Right? That's what it's saying. If you don't abide in me, you can't bear fruit. Which is really what 1 Corinthians is saying. He said, you could have all faith, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. So you really can't bear fruit without being in the love of God. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or you could say without love, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words, see here, isn't this interesting right here? If you abide in me and, see? So you have to abide in love, in the love of God, in the vine, and his words have to abide in you. And you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So faith, the word spoken, is operating by what? Love. Can you see that? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So the abiding is connected to what? The doing. It says here, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment. This is what we had in John 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So you can see here that the same as what we got done, well, we didn't get done sharing this, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A brand new creature. You're not something made over. You're not a refurbished being. You're a brand new being. And that's just exactly what the scripture said. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. So you're putting the love of God, God's very nature, can't come into a refurbished spirit. It's a brand new spirit. It's recreated. So we're brand new. Turn to Ephesians 2. Just want to walk through some scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 10. Familiar scripture? In the King James, it says, "For we are his what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." This is the Amplified. The Amplified says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." This is the Living Bible. "It is God himself who has made us what we are." It is God himself who has made us who, or made us what we are, and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. That means we are his workmanship. We are made love. His very nature, it's God's workmanship. It says here, he himself, God himself, who has made us what we are, given us new lives from Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. As I abide in him, he abides in me." God is love. He's made us his very own workmanship. He's made us who we are and what we are. "And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others." He is not about us. So this new creation is his workmanship, and is perfect. This new creation is just as perfect as the first creation was. He planned that we should walk in love and act in his stead. Isn't that what it's, that's what Adam was supposed to do and messed up? He gave him dominion and authority in this earth. And that's what we've been given. So we're actually here taking his place. We are the body of Christ. So when we receive his love, we receive the ability of God. We're his workmanship. We are clothed on high with God's ability. So we've been clothed with his ability, his very nature, his love. Everything operates from that place of love. Faith operates from that place of love. Peace operates from that place of love. So we're going to hit some scriptures here. You're in Ephesians chapter 2. Go to chapter 3. And look at verse 20. Well, actually, let's back up here and let's look at verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts," how? by faith, that she being rooted and grounded in what? Love. So you're rooted and grounded in love, but what? It says here, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, this is what I want to go to here. Now that you're filled with all that, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that worketh in us. I wrote this down. You could say this. Now unto love that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. It is according to the ability of love that is functioning in us. So it's this love that exudes from us where faith operates from. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go over a little bit. Philippians chapter 2. So you can see why the devil fights the love of God so much. Why he tries to break apart unity among the brethren. Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 13. It says here, for it is God, let's replace the word God with love. For it is love which worketh in you both to do what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. So what's working in us? The love of God. See, now here's the thing. And sometimes I'm just sitting here meditating on this a minute. If love is not working in us, then what does that mean? That means that his will and his good pleasure is not being accomplished, is it? And it wouldn't be if we're not walking in the love of God, even though he desires it. It wouldn't be accomplished. And this is why the devil fights it. Because if he can get people to walk out of love, then it says here that it's that his will, which worketh in you to will. Well, let me read it in another translation. Because sometimes the King James, this is the New Living Translation. This reads a little better. It says, "For God is working in you." This reads better in the New Living Translation. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what he pleases, to do what pleases him. Let me read that again. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So that means if we're not operating in the love of God, then what does that mean? We don't have the desire or the power to do what pleases him. And you could all say, at some point in your life, I've been there. And you can see it where the church sometimes gets off into things that they're not doing something because, number one, they don't have the desire and they don't have the power to do what pleases him. They're doing what they please, not him. And here's the other thing. Love leads us. So if we're in God and we're in the love of God, love should lead us to his purposes. Because that's exactly what John said. He said, if you'll do those things, you'll do... What? Let's go back and read that again. John 14... And he said, if you're in the things that you Yeah. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So all of this is based on, first of all, that we are connected to the vine, we're staying in him, and that the words that we speak, what did it read before? It said that I missed that scripture. I'll read that again. But the point here is that God is working in us. How? By the love of God, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. Well, let's back up verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Isn't that interesting how that's separated? It says rooted. What are we to be rooted in? We just got done reading that. Rooted in love. So you're rooted and what? And built up in him and what? Established in the faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what? Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And the New Living, it says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I like this. This just makes it real plain. This is called the Cressman translation. It says, Christ has everything God has. I just like that. I just like the way that read. That's it. Christ has everything God has. That just makes it simple, right? Christ has everything God has, and everything Christ has, I have. I'm complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I like the way that read. And it says, and you too have everything when you're in him. I just like the way that reads. Christ has everything God has, and you too have everything when you're in him. Glory to God. Now, this is the Living Bible. For in Christ, there is all of God in a human body. So you have everything when you have Christ. And you are filled with God through your union with Christ. You are filled with love when you're in union with God, with Christ. He is the highest ruler with authority over every power. So that's why, you know, when we run into imperfect situations, imperfect people, we can begin to say, God's in me. I am filled up with God. I'm filled up with his nature, filled up with his love, filled up with his ability to handle this. I can handle this. Now, is it pleasant to the flesh? No. Is it pleasant to your soul? It may not be. It may not be pleasant to your mind. It may not be. It may be. You know, I haven't found anybody who finds difficult situations pleasant. Now, some, you may get to a place because of your experience, you go, ah, we got this. And then some, you may go, whew, I don't know what I'm going to do here. You know, when you, I was watching something recently on, I'm trying to remember where I watched this. It was on, oh, I know what it was. It was just on TV. It was a little kind of a, the reason I said that there's so many places you can watch things. I was trying to recall, where did I see this? And it was on Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was talking about how he went to Russia to preach the gospel in a stadium. And the United States and a lot of people weren't too happy about it. They gave him the business, so to speak. They really gave him the business. And he said, but I'm for all people. Even talked about how people gave him the business during the 60s, during the racial things, when he said to some of the people, some of the white people down in the South said, if you don't let these black people in, then I'm not coming and there will be no meetings. So he broke down some of these tough issues. He stood for right. And so they gave him the business when he went to Russia. And he came back. He said, "Some of the, you know, some of the people that some of his, you know, close help at that time." He said, "When he was flying back in the plane from Russia, he said, I don't know. He said, I think my ministry is over because it was so stressful, and all of these pressures were coming." That's my point. That sometimes pressures come and it may not be comfortable to the flesh and to the mind. But as we grow in the love of God, it will be easier to just rest in the fact that I did what God told me to do. I know that what I did was right and it was just. And God is for me and not against me. Now, people may not handle you right, but before God, you can stand and say, I did what you told me to do, which is really what the scripture says. It says here, for it is God which worketh in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, not people. And that's what Billy Graham did. He did what pleased God and not people. So even though people may have booted him out or gave him a hard time, he did what God pleased, what was pleasing to God. And so it may not be comfortable, but as we grow in love, see, love casts out fear. So love, when it's perfected, we are not fearful of people. We can stand up and do the things that please God and be restful in that and comfortable in that. See? Let's turn over to, just take a quick look here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. And it's a familiar scripture. It says, but of him are ye, I'm reading from the King James, but of him are ye, or you, in Christ Jesus, who of God, you could say, who of love is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So you could really, you know, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. You know, you could have knowledge and not have wisdom. So really, in this, when you look at this, when we are in connected to the vine, when we're connected to love, we are complete in Him. That means we have all wisdom. We have all righteousness. We don't have part righteousness. We have all sanctification, all redemption. So really, wisdom finds its source from where? Love. So really, when you look at it, love is wisdom. God is wisdom. Love is wisdom. So when we operate in the love of God, we will operate in the wisdom of God. See? So love is greater than anything that can oppose us. And love has made us conquerors. Love. So when we say greater is He that is in us, greater is love in us than anything that can confront us. Love is greater. And we just have to remind ourselves of this as we go through life and we face difficult situations, difficult things. Love will lead us. I love that little kind of, what's that little plastic bracelet, that little rubber bracelet they were handing out for the street fairs? What does it say? Let love lead. When love leads us, He'll lead us into victory. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm learning. You know, we're growing. Yes, we can say our faith is growing as we act upon it. It's developed, it's being perfected, but it can't grow any greater than your love. Because faith worketh by love. You know, when Jesus talked about various types of faith, He talked about some that had no faith, little faith. Well, you could also look at that and say, if you've got no love, little love, then it's to the degree also it impacts your faith. It does. Because you're operating from, what did we say over here? It's love that gives us, what does it say? For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So when we talk about desire and power, you know, I'd like to look that up in other translations, but when we talk about desire, you could possibly look at that, and I'd probably look that up in some other translations, but I wonder if that means, I'm just talking out loud here, does that mean confidence? Does it mean He gives you the confidence? Or does it mean, does He give you the hope, the desire, or the expectation? I don't know. But the bottom line here is it's God working in us, giving us those things that we need to fulfill His purposes. And it's rooted in love. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the love of God that constrains us and leads us and guides us. Thank You. Father, that this place is a place where the love of God is evident and the Word of God is taught and the Spirit of God is directing and the power of God is manifested. Oh, and we thank You, Father, that we are connected to the vine, we're connected to the love of God, and we thank You that this love in us is being perfected as we act upon it. And we're so grateful that You chose us and You made us new creations in Christ, in love. And we thank You, Father, that there's nothing that we face that we can't handle because we're in Christ. We're in you and your power's working in us. And we thank you for it. We're grateful. We're so grateful. We just take time to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful. Thank you that you've blessed us with your presence, blessed us with your very nature that lives in us. And Father, we stir that up in us. And we thank you that as we go about our daily activities and the people we come in contact with, we thank you that they'll see your nature in us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we're here to love people and impact this society with the love of God, with you. And we thank you. Help us to walk in the love of God. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.